like I did last week and this one tonight, which is really just a follow-up of what we did last week, it brings comments. One of the comments I got from last week in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, is don't forget the part where the wife is supposed to call the husband Lord, as Sarah called Abraham Lord. One comment was, boy, you're going to get us women again this week, aren't you? And then there are just all kinds of little statements that you get that are good because at least you know what topic is coming. I like that. I appreciate that. Tonight, there are people sitting here in this room thinking, man, I've been married 50 years, Jan. I don't need this. And there are other people sitting here thinking, I'm not married at all. I don't need this. And so we are getting ready to kick out of gear because for one reason or another, there are tons of you in this room who do not need this lesson. So you think. But the reality is submission is a part of life for every one of us. Every one of us. And so we need to be thinking about it. We need to be thinking about what it means. As we think about marriage, it does mean a little bit more than love and honor and vacuum. Sometimes there are women, there are probably women in this room who have a job where you are responsible for men. You have a job where you are in authority over men. And I have known of women who have owned great companies and had many men, including their husbands, working for them. And when you are in that position, life is just not easy some days. And so when we start thinking about authority, we're not talking about men having authority over women in every breath they take or any such thing. So, do we need to soft soap submission? Two of the most powerful passages in the Bible that relate to submission are Ephesians 5:21 and Colossians 3:18. Maybe the most controversial passage in the Bible on marriage. It may be the divorce and remarriage passage that is found, or those passages, but you're going to read tons of literature about Ephesians 5, verses 21 and 22. Verse 21 says that we ought to be submitting to one another, mutual submission. And that passage is taken to show that absolutely in marriage, there is no wives submitting to husband. It's a mutual thing. Men submit to women, women submit to men. And then verse 22 comes along and says in our traditional translations, wives, be in subjection to your husband. And there are Greek scholarly people in this room who would be very quick to tell you that in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, it's a different statement than we see in a number of English translations. And so we look at that, and as we look at it, though, I want you to think for just a minute about the matter of submission. It's a reality. Submit to one another. Does that mean mutual submission? Well, there are ways in every person's life where we submit. It's mutually so. It's not about authority. It's not about intelligence. It's not about physical strength. It's not about the kinds of things that we usually think about when domination takes over. It is a role that God gives all of us to play in one circumstance or another. My most often used illustration is about the relationship that Cliff Bennett and I had for many years at Freed Hardeman. At school, back at the time I'm thinking about, I served as a vice president. I wanted to hire Cliff Bennett as a dean, and did. And my role at the university was to be responsible for his role as dean of students. Did I have authority over him? I did. I did. I remember one time when their daughter Amy, who now has her own family, she was a little bitty girl. She was sitting in my lap, and I was looking at some stuff, and there had been a problem with a parent. Cliff comes in with a letter, and he didn't come in with a letter. A letter was sent to me. He came in, and I handed him the letter, and I said, "Would you please read that and handle it?" Amy took my face in her hands, and she turned my face toward hers, and she said, "Why can't you do that?" She's about 4 years old or 5 years old. She didn't want me telling her daddy what to do. "Why can't you do that?" It's the way we feel about life, isn't it, sometimes? But when we left our office and we went to worship when I was a minister at Estes, Cliff happened to be an elder. And so I was in submission to him. Obey those who have rule over you. And so we look at life, and it wasn't a matter of me being more intelligent than Cliff, obviously, when we were working together at school, or him necessarily being more intelligent than me at worship. We had different opportunities and responsibilities. So mutual submission is real. If you begin looking at Ephesians 5:21, here is the general statement, submitting one to another. And then you begin reading in the very next verse, areas of life in which we need to be submissive. The first one is wives, be in submission to your husbands. And then you take a look at those great verses that we have in chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. And then you come to chapter 6 and children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Young people are to be in submission, subjection, obedience to parents. That is the right thing to do. It isn't because you all are not smart. You are brighter in a number of ways than your parents. You lack some experience that they have, and there are many things, but the right thing is for you as young people living at home to be in subjection to your parents. That's one way verse 21 is addressed. And then slaves, you be in subjection to your masters. That makes all kinds of sense to us. If you just take the concept of employer being responsible for employees, we have an obligation to be submissive and responsive in that way to our employers. So here's a general rule, submitting to one another, and then the reality of wives to husbands, Hebrews 13:1, submit to those who rule over you. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 teaches us that we are to be in submission to governmental authorities. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, younger people submit to elderly people. It's a general command for Christians, and it's something we do. It's not something that we make someone else do. So if I'm working as a vice president and I'm working with the dean, I don't make the dean do anything. The dean has chosen a responsibility. But when I give something to do, like I did with Cliff Bennett, the letter, he has to choose whether or not to do it. Can I make him do it? No. I can't make him do it. But if we're going to have a good working relationship, he's going to submit in terms of working together with me. And that's the way it is in every working relationship. We are to be submissive to God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he permitted. But being made perfect or complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey, all them that submit to him. It requires obedience and submission. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. We obey the will of the Father. Can we disobey the will? Certainly. Can we refuse to be godly? Certainly. Our opportunity is to willingly submit. I use the crazy phrase, God will never body slam a person into the church. And he will not. He will never shove you into the church. There probably is somebody in this room tonight who has never been baptized into Christ, but the door has swung wide open many times with people loving you, begging you to be obedient unto God. But for some reason, you have said consistently no. No one can make you do that. That's you. It's your choice. But the blessings come to people who submit. That's going to happen in life to us. We need to listen to what God has to say. We need to listen to what our employers have to say. We need to listen to what our teachers have to say. And when we submit, we're going to be blessed and we're going to be happy people. But the matter of submission is very important. Now, I mentioned that verse 22 in Ephesians 5 is a little different than our English text reads sometimes because the Greek verb is not there. English translators insert the word submit. And so here's a word that is inserted in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. It's a word that means to place yourself under. It is used in the military to rank yourself under, but it clearly means that someone that you place yourself under has some authority over you. That's what the word means. And so we look at that, and we have many people who say, well, you can't say that wives are to submit to their husband because that verb is not really there. Verse 21 gives us the general rule. And remember, if you look, I think, honestly, at the context, you're going to see ways in which we have to submit to each other. But when you turn to Colossians 3 and verse 18, it's a parallel passage, and it does say the same thing, and it does include the verb. Colossians 3:18 does say submit in terms of it being that verb that is there that we sometimes insert. But the important thing is in chapter 5 of Ephesians in verse 21, you have this beginning passage, this introduction to a series of circumstances and relationships where submission is necessary and important. In Colossians 3, you don't have that, and so Paul inserts it in the statement there about wives being subject or in submission to the husband. Well, how do we accomplish submission? How do I do that? How do I submit to my boss at school? Or I should say my bosses at school. How do I submit to people who are in positions of authority, like a policeman who pulls me over for speeding, or a mayor who makes some rule for the city or the county that I don't really like? Why do I submit? And if I'm willing, how do I put that in a perspective that I can stand? Because you see, I happen to be the single most important person in the world. When I get ready to go somewhere, you all need to get off the street and let me drive the speed I want to. And if you're in danger because of my speed, it's your fault. You shouldn't be out there. Or what is the idea of that policeman stopping me? I have seen all kinds of people speeding today, and I didn't see any of them stop, but I get stopped. You see, we begin to think of ourselves as the most important person in the world when we have a problem with submitting to some kind of authority. I happen to be that way. And I'm guessing almost everybody in this room is that way to a degree. You young folks, how many times when your parents said, listen, you need to be here by 9 o'clock tonight, the very next word that flies out of your mouth is why? Everybody in the world's getting to stay out until 10:30 and I've got to be home at night. Why? Tell me why. You're in any way. We don't have an answer for you that's going to satisfy you. And so we can't tell you why, but we want to know. You want to know, why do I have to submit to that idiotic rule? We do the same thing at work. We roll our eyes at some of the things we have to do, and we get upset. But you see, here's how this works. Look at this passage in the book of Philippians. it introduces one of the greatest examples of submission that you could ever even think about, much less read about, when Paul says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind." I can't be the greatest person in the world. I can't get everything I want. I can't do everything I want. Not if you develop humility, lowliness of mind, because you will permit yourself to esteem others as better than yourself. It's one of the hardest things in the world for us to do. Esteem others as better than ourselves. And then Paul says, look not every man on his own thing. I want to accomplish my goal. I want to get where I'm going. I want to get done what I need to get done. I need to be next in line. The other day, on Wednesday, I went to Bell's for lunch and talking with Bill and Billy, and I needed to run and go. And I got up there to pay, and there were 10 women standing in front of me and nobody up there to take money. And I thought, well, I've got to go. I'll come back. That was Wednesday. I finally got back to confess my sin on Saturday and paid them for the meal that I skipped paying for on Wednesday. But you see, what I said was, I am so important that I can walk out of this place and not pay and come back, and they won't think anything about that. You see, I place myself above other people sometimes. And so this is how we accomplish it. If you want to get it done, if you want to be a properly submissive person, you begin to think about other people being better than yourselves. Now, in the home, this has got to go in the home as well as at Bell's restaurant or wherever you may be. This has got to go. If you want to accomplish submission spiritually, this is the way you do it. Now, that's verses 2 through 4. Look at verse 5. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? The mind that says, I cannot look only on my own things, but look at others. I cannot esteem myself as better than other people. If Jesus had done the opposite of what Paul teaches in those verses, you and I would be in our sins and we would be lost. It took Jesus giving up himself. Look at what this passage says about Jesus. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He wasn't stealing any fame. He wasn't taking a place that wasn't rightfully his. He was God. He was with God. And so he could claim that, rightfully so. But he made himself of no reputation. He came into the world, born into a relatively lowly household. His dad, in the earth sense, was a carpenter. It doesn't appear that he had a silver spoon. He had to most likely work in the carpenter shop, but he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come into the world as a great king. He didn't come into the world as a rock star or a big athlete or somebody that you all would look up to automatically. He gave all of that up, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. That's hard work. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And not just any death, but even the death on the cross. Okay, now, when you think about general submission, when we learn to do this, we're going to be great people in the kingdom of God. We're going to be great servants in the home. We're going to find loving wives and loving husbands and loving children who obey parents. We're going to do what God did. This was God's submissive son. Now, are you ready to go there? It's hard work, but that's what we need to do. Now, the matter of submission includes wives in the home. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. I think you would have to agree the verb is not there in verse 22, but go to Colossians 3:18, and it is there. And it is a fair thing to submit in verse 22 based on the way the construction of the language is. The verb is present. There isn't any doubt that God requires wives to submit to their husbands in my mind as I try my very best to understand what God is trying to teach us. That may be offensive to some women, but it shouldn't be. It should not be. And here's why that it should not be. Here's the manner. We've looked at the matter of submission. It's clear, it's real, but how do you go about that? When you can submit to the people, and your husband is not the only person you are to submit to. You are to submit to other people as well. You are no more or no less obligated to submit to your husband than you are your employer. That's a crazy statement, isn't it? But I think it's the truth. You don't have to submit to your husband. You can be bold. You can dress the way you want to, talk the way you want to, go where you want to, leave the children where you want to. You can do all of that if you choose, even if your husband does not like it. But you won't be listening to what God says. You work with your husband and you submit in the way the Lord did. Chapter 5 and verse 22 says, you submit as to the Lord. In the same way that you would humble yourself before the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you your husband is the Lord. I'm not telling you your husband is a god. I'm telling you, God gave structure to the home, and the husband is the head of the home, and the wife is to be in submission. And it's not an ugly thing. It's not negative. It is a proper way to serve the Lord. It's fit. It fits what God says to all of us about submission. It is just a circumstance in the home where God gives the role of submission to the wife and the role of headship to the man. The model is pretty clear. It's not all that clear sometimes to function in if I have to be the most important person in the world. When you think about it, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself is the Savior of the body. And in this context, not trying to tell you that your husband is your Savior. He is not. He's your husband. And in the same way that Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body, the husband is the head of the home, and he is to be this role for his wife. A wife is to be submissive to her husband, following the model of the church's submission to Christ. Now, look at the model that Christ gave us as head of the church. Guys, you need to take a good look at this. Because if we can function in the same way that Christ does toward the church in these qualities, I don't think wives are going to have trouble submitting. We know that we need to be submissive to Christ because we see God so loved the world. We have a loving God. We have a loving Christ who would give his very life. He provides leadership. Christ gave us the greatest example we could ever have. You imitate me, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, as I imitate the Lord. We need to be imitators of the Lord in terms of our love, in terms of our leadership, in terms of our direction, in terms of our protection in the best way that we can, in terms of us providing a safe environment for our wives and children when they come, security, strength, provide. We need to be there, men. And when we are, God's plan for the home is going to work, I believe, where both people love the Lord and love each other. When you continue to think about the manner of submission, Christ does not neglect the church. He doesn't ignore. He doesn't demean. He doesn't abuse the church. We have many husbands in our culture who are acting in those ways. We have husbands in Henderson, Tennessee, just like every other town, that neglect their wives, ignore their wives, demean their wives, abuse their wives, and when they do, they are not taking headship in the way God says for us to do. We need to be men who do what we can do like the Christ did for us. Christ doesn't treat the church rudely, disrespectfully. He never acts arrogantly or insensitively toward her, but he humbled himself. Jesus claimed to be meek and lowly in heart, as Billy looked at this morning, so you can find rest unto your souls. Jesus doesn't continue to criticize us. He does not make us feel as though we are not important. Every soul is worth more than all of the world. Isn't that what Matthew 16 teaches us? What would you give in exchange for your soul? If you had the whole world, you would be a loser if you gave up your soul to gain the whole world. And so when we start thinking about how valuable we are to God, we need to have men living before their wives in the home who make them feel that they are so important. They are so important, we would give ourselves for them. So while God indeed gives the husband a position of leadership with regard to his wife, boy, it is at a price to pay for us guys. I'm hoping that no one is offended by God's message of submission. I firmly believe that if you have a husband who treats his wife the way Christ treats the church, you're going to have a great marriage. There's not going to be any discussion about who's in charge, about who's the boss, about who needs to do what. I think all of us recognize there are things in marriages that men have no business deciding. I've said it about a million times. Several years ago, we were going to redo the living room. Jan walks in, she looks around, and she says, "Roy, what colors do you think we ought to use?" That's about like asking a monkey, "How do you decorate the table for a fine banquet?" I have no idea about colors. She made me change ties today because my tie that I had on was worn out, and I didn't notice it. I just tied it, and the knot up here, the colors were gone, and there were holes in it. When she saw that today, she said, "Give me that tie right now." And I stood up, and I didn't give her the tie. I did take it off and change it when I got home. But I'm telling you, we can have great homes with loving, sacrificial husbands and submissive wives where there is no feeling of inferiority, no feeling of being used, no feeling that is ugly and that will come between a husband and a wife having a great relationship. But that's the same thing that we need to have with Jesus. Hard for some people to submit to Jesus. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." I've had people ask me, what possible difference could it make to be dunked underwater? We don't want to submit for whatever reason. And when we don't want to submit, it doesn't matter what the reason is. We choose not to submit. Tonight, submit is still a verb, something that you must do. And there are probably people in this room who know you need to submit to the Lord. You need to obey. You need to step in line with what the Lord says for you to do. And there probably is at least one Christian in this room who has stepped out of line, and you have become, again, the most important person in the world in terms of your relationship with God. You need to submit. Turn and pray that God will forgive you, and He will. And so we come to a part of our worship where we're going to sing. And the purpose of the song is to try to move you, if you need to respond, to submit. If you need prayers, there are people in this room that are hurting. If you need us to pray with you and for you, the invitation would be for you as well. If you need it, use the invitation song to respond as we stand and as we sing.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story.